Bettner, Bissett, bring yourselves online. Bettner, do you know where you are?
The fourth story of the treehouse.
Bissett, have you ever told anyone about this podcast?
Yes, it's on amodernprofession.com.
Bettner, would you ever hurt a living thing?
No.
Bissett, tell us what you think of your world.
Well, I'm Donald Trump, and some people choose to see the ugliness in this world.
Lose the accent.
The disarray. I choose to see the beauty, to believe there is an order to our days, a purpose.
Bettner, Bissett, engage podcast mode.
ouch, yeah, that's rough. That's all good. We'll change the mood. So I'm gonna give my boy a call here real fast.
All right.
In fact, let's have Siri call her. Oh, call Siri. Jared Weintraub.
Mobile.
Calling Jared Weintraub.
Ooh, it's right in my ear hole. Come on, baby. Oh, hey, Jared. Hold on. Let me put it on speaker. That's the answer. There we go. Hey, man.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Hey, you know. Do you watch anything?
You know, I don't watch anything.
It can be a problem for a show like ours.
It is kind of a problem.
But it's all right, man. You know, the show, like I say when we started, the show isn't necessarily about the best reviews of television and movies. It's about you and me and our personalities and talking to friends about movies and shit. So,
right, for sure, man.
So, but this week we got to talk about a show you have not watched, my friend.
I know. I need to get on it too. I just haven't had the time.
How far along in you are? How long are you?
I have zero under my belt.
Not one. Oh, God,
I know.
You suck. Okay, so
it's a problem. I told you. I know.
It's all good. It's all good. But anyway, this week on Life's a Binge, welcome everybody. I'm BJ.
I am Jared.
Yeah, Jared on the phone here. We're going to talk about Westworld, and Jared hasn't watched Westworld yet. So
yeah, I failed.
It's all good. So, but we have two guest hosts sitting in right now who are going to help us out. I could say one is the guest host and one is a guest, but I kind of like saying guest host. We also have guest.
They're both guest hosts.
I will call it that. I like that.
Yeah,
because anybody can do a segment on our show. That's what I think too.
That's right.
So we got Mike Bissett.
Yeah.
Clap him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And we got this is our third time. Yeah, number three visit for Mike Pettner in the house. Mike Pettner.
Thank you very much.
Mike Pettner.
And
all right, double mics.
Guest producing is our good friend BJ McEvely.
Bow, bow.
Evil BJ.
Evil B is on it.
Money
yep.
For BJ.
Money for BJ. Yeah, pay him.
Pay BJ.
Pay him.
I like that. That's a good. I like that one. I'm sure I get a little bit of
like that one, but you don't like just, money for Todd.
Well,
the guy who's done your show for years.
Pay BJ. No, we're all about paying Todd.
Okay.
Paying Todd.
All right.
But anyway, Jared, we're going to talk about the show, and then you're going to watch it, and then we'll talk about it some more.
That's true.
All right, man. So take care.
Well, have fun recording Life's a Binge from the fourth story of the treehouse.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. For those of you who are friends of Modern Profession, you will know that that is the recording home for Life Moves Pretty Fast. And, in fact, we have both.
Chica-chica,
indeed. We have both the co-hosts sitting with us. BJ McEvely is producing our episode this week. And Michael Bissett's co-hosting Life's a Binge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we'll do that with you on the phone, too. All
right?
Oh,
right on. And then
when
I'm
right now?
Talk away.
Yeah, but I'm going to hang up right after you breathe in. So.
Sounds good.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow.
Right?
You suck. Right on. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Like we just said, we have two guest hosts helping us out today for this week's episode of Life's a Binge. We have Mike Pettner and Mike Bissett.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Mikey Squared and we have BJ squared. We have two mics and two BJs on the table.
That is weird.
That is pretty wild. In fact,
I didn't even put that together.
You know what? And I bet you there's probably not that many times in history that there's been four people sitting at a table and two have been named Mike and two have been named BJ. I bet you this might be the first time ever.
So. I don't know who's doing the research on that, but
until someone proves me wrong,
that's the first time.
Until the internet, that's me. Sorry,
he's generally right about these things.
Yeah, generally, usually pretty right. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. I have a pretty good idea that I might be right about that.
Trump just tweeted. This is the first time it's ever happened. It's great.
Right on. So, dudes, Westworld.
Buddy, Westworld.
Right? Westworld.
I am right.
Yeah.
I am right.
So, what do you think?
And you're right.
What do you think, man? Start with Bizet.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. It was all right. No. It's the most fun I've had watching TV in a very long time. And what I love about it is that it was originally written by Michael Crichton,
right?
Who is my favorite author, who died, I want to say 6-7 years
is he
ago
dead?
Now.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he went out about 6-7 years ago, of course, who gave us Jurassic Park.
Right.
The Andromeda Strain, The Great Train Robbery, give me some more.
Sphere. Congo.
Congo. A bunch of great, and if you don't know his name, you definitely know his work. And he just has the biggest smile in his grave right now. That something that he wrote in the 1970s,
yeah,
a movie that honestly didn't get very good reviews, and was kind of a one off. I mean, he did go to write and direct a little show called ER. I don't know if you know about that.
I do. I remember that show.
Yeah, he did that. But his only real feature directorial
was
Westworld, and HBO took it and said we have this great idea, we're gonna do this, and the Golden Globe nominations just came out, and Westworld is just at the top of the, it's Westworld and Game of Thrones pretty much.
I could see
that's
that.
About it.
I could see that for sure. One thing that I enjoyed about the show a lot, I don't know if either of you watch, I know you did, watch Battlestar Galactica.
But there's
kind of a similar sort of theme in Battlestar Galactica. Oh, yeah. So now, everyone, I'm assuming, I should say right now, before we go any further, if you haven't watched the show, you really shouldn't be listening. Right.
Huge spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about the show.
This is one of those fun shows that has secrets and reveals and theories, and it kind of like, I know you guys have that elusive Lost episode coming.
It was very losty
in that what is happening here.
Yeah, it is. It's
and
super losty.
So if I know this is Jared's job, but
right.
If you haven't watched this show,
watch Lost.
Don't watch Lost. Watch Westworld. Don't watch Lost. Yeah. Lost was a good show. It'll be there. Watch Westworld right now.
Right. You absolutely should watch the show
because we're gonna wreck everything.
Yes, we are. So. When the first scene of the whole series, if I'm not mistaken, opens up, and it's the character we learn is Bernard is interviewing the character we know as Dolores. Am I right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And they're talking about and you're not aware now when you were watching the previews for this. I'm assuming, did you guys kind of see the previews for it too? Is kind of coming up on HBO.
I did not.
Deliberately stayed away from them. Yeah.
Oh well, I mean, because just the. Like when watching other shows on HBO, they would tease it, and they was like, "Here, coming is Westworld." Like they're teasing the new Pope, which looks very
which looks
good.
Crazy too.
It does. It looks super good. Like I'm really excited about watching that show. Yeah. But they were teasing Westworld, and they were trying to imagine like, what in the world is this about? Because they have this girl being interviewed, and she's talking about whether or not she's in a dream or what's going on, and kind of questioning her consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard to put it together. What exactly is happening? And so as the show kind of falls upon you, you realize that Westworld is a theme park that is designed really similar to Jurassic Park, which makes sense. You can kind of see similar themes in the art and the author, where you can go there and live the life of a Western gunslinger, or you can play a bad guy or a good guy, or
whatever
hero.
You want.
Yeah,
I mean, really, you can do whatever you want in this park.
Yeah, which sounds pretty awesome.
With no consequences.
That's. Yeah, well, I guess we're going to find that.
We'll find out, you know, towards the end. But I mean, yeah, that was the idea, is that you have these, amazingly
real robots.
Very real, very intricate.
And they are called hosts on the show. You take this train into Westworld. We don't know where it is.
Right.
That's another thing that's just, where is
it looks
this
like,
place?
To me, like, it looks like it's built, because my limited experience, and somewhat limited, but when I was in Sedona, Arizona, the landscape reminds me of that, or Utah, or one of these type of places where you can imagine, and it seems like they set it in one of these Western locations
one
in
of
the
these
United
ghost
States.
Towns. Yes.
Yes, and where they can build up around it, and so
there are all sorts of theories. I mean, people think it could be on another planet.
Really?
So futuristic. There's, you know, different varying timelines, different, you know, there's all sorts of theories that maybe it's not on the planet Earth.
Really? Now that I have not heard. The ones that But go on. Yeah, go on.
Well, no. I'm just saying we assume that it's taking place on the planet Earth.
But right.
It might not be.
And I don't know. It came up in episode, I want to say 5 or 6, but it is $40,000 a day.
Oh, I see. I don't remember that detail.
Westworld.
You remember that detail?
No, well,
I don't remember that.
Only because I went on the website today.
There we go.
There's the official website has like a simulated, It pretends like you're going to be a visitor to Westworld for real.
Uh-huh.
And
I like
it,
that.
And it
you
has like
check that out.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. They have a basically it asks you a bunch of it's a survey.
It's like a personality questionnaire.
Yeah, personality questions.
Yeah,
and then they email you back and say, hey, you know, you're ready for your experience. I still haven't
really
responded to that yet.
I got to do that.
But there's a whole bot too that like will answer all your questions. So you type in questions and it will respond to what the questions that you ask about it. And that was one of them. It's like, my first question was, how much does it cost? And that was the answer.
$40,000.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And you remember that from the show, though.
I do remember that from the show. And that it's because I was looking into the old movie. Because I've actually never seen the original.
I have not
either. Westworld,
me neither.
Which I'm going to do this weekend.
Oh, really?
I'm definitely going to check it out.
I'm just going to find it on...
I'm just going to find it somewhere. Okay. I don't know if I've got to pirate it or find
it on
iTunes
somewhere.
Or find a Blockbuster video that's still open. I don't, I'm going to find it. Laser disc.
Yeah.
But yeah, back in the 70s, it was $1,000 a day,
right.
Which I can imagine was probably a lot 40 years ago.
Is that what they said in the movie? Or,
yes,
or,
yeah, they do say that in the movie. No, that's how much it is now to rent that movie.
Right.
It's so rare. $1,000 a day.
Because you have to rent a laser disc, too. Yeah.
The late fees are insane.
Yeah.
You don't want to, don't ask me about those. But yeah, you basically are immersed in this world, and you're going to the Old West. And you can be whatever, if you want to be a good guy, if you want to be a gambler, if you want to be a bounty hunter, if you want to be, if you just want to go and have sex with hookers, I feel like that is, they have all this technology and they're designing horses and snakes and cactus and
birds.
Weather patterns, and they're doing everything. And basically, guys are just paying $40,000 to screw and kill.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's basically what it boils down to is all these guys are just going out there, and the first thing they do is they go to the brothel. And then they gamble and they kill people, and then they go on the train home. That's kind of what people are paying all that money for until it gets a lot deeper.
Yeah. And that's what's great about the show is that it does go, there's so many layers of what's happening that's kind of like revealed as the show goes on about what really is happening. We still don't really know exactly what's happening, but we learn a lot more. And one of the main points is that you learn that these hosts are starting to gain consciousness or become closer to being consciousness, artificial intelligence and such.
Which it turns out, again, spoiler alert, there were two creators of the park. There was Ford, who is played by Anthony Hopkins, who hasn't turned in a poor performance yet.
And he kills
even as Thor's dad, like he was just
he was
standing ovation.
Yep.
But he does a great job as this. I mean, even my wife Becky said, that was very Hannibal Lecter-ish. Like that look he gave in episode 7 or 8, which we'll get to. When he orders one of the hosts to do something and then he kind of turns away and doesn't look at it. he's just like glancing out this window. She's like, "That was Hannibal Lecter right there."
Yes, yeah.
So he's great, but the other creator, this mysterious Arnold character, he realized that these robots have very human and very very real characteristics and very raw emotions, and this park cannot open. Like, we cannot do this. We can't. We can't allow people to come in here and rape them and kill them, which is basically what happened.
You couldn't consciously allow that if they were conscious.
Correct.
And then the implication is that they're becoming conscious.
And, of course, he, as we know, gets
taken
out. Now,
you wonder, like, if... Okay, so there's a lot of things. So, first of all, in the course of the storytelling, you learn a lot about the hosts. And you almost... Not almost, but you actually begin to... start to cheer for the hosts. So the robots kind of become the heroes in some of these storylines. I mean, you're following the character of Maeve, who is having this awakening and starting to remember things and start to make choices, or you think she's making choices about stuff. And you start to empathize with her, and you become that this is who you're cheering for. And the humans, someone, this is funny, Samantha Skye McLaughlin, Dallas's wife, mm-hmm. left a note saying, "There's not a human that I'm cheering for."
Yeah, so interesting.
Similarly to the storyline of the show, we yes. kinda it's not inevitable that we're going to bounce around on the show about the show, because one of the things, and we'll just say it now, as the show is revealed, you're watching it throughout season 1, 2, 3, episodes 1, 2, 3, 4. You think a story is being told a certain way, and then at a certain point, I forget which episode it is, but you realize that what you're learning has not been told chronologically.
No.
That you are learning stuff out of order. And so things that you think happened just now actually happened a long time ago. And
which is...
It's a mind-blowing
it's
thing.
It's so brilliant.
You motherfucker.
The first time you kind of think, like, are these happening at the same time? Is that person the same person? And we're seeing them in... Because we know that these are robots.
Right.
And they probably don't age.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I would imagine they don't age like we do, unless they come up with some new kind of robot that actually
that ages, which probably is the next step.
Possibly. Yep. I don't know. But and then you get into, and we'll just spoil this one right
now.
The Arnold and Bernard situation.
Right.
So I mentioned earlier that Arnold, who was one of the creators of the park, was taken out by his partner Ford. And, kind of had a hand in it. And then Ford created his kind of right-hand man as a host in his likeness, almost his exact likeness. Even in, they went into such detail as to, when Arnold is thinking about things, he takes his glasses off and he cleans them. Mm-hmm. And then he puts them back on. So that was kind of his right-hand man as a host. And we didn't know that. So then you go back to, episode one, and you think, is that Bernard or is that Arnold?
Right.
What timeline are we on? When is he talking to the other hosts?
Yes.
And
it gets confusing.
Who are we looking at here?
Yeah.
And that, to me, I can't wait to rewatch the series, because you don't know who is this.
Yeah. That was definitely something that, like, when it's all done.
Now, when did you know that Bernard was a host?
Okay, so I didn't know for sure until, the kind of the epic line of where he's like, "What door?"
And
he doesn't see the door. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, "Oh, shit!" But before that, there were lots of hints. Like, yeah. Even, like, I think in the very first episode, they kind of hint at that. Because they're saying, like, "Oh, he's talking about the hosts." And he's having sex with the woman whose name I forget.
Dolores?
No.
No, it's not Dolores.
Who's like one of the CEOs or one of the management.
Oh, starts with a T.
But
her name she's is one of the, Teresa. Teresa Cullen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so he's with Teresa, and they're lovers clearly in the storyline. And he's talking about the hosts and how they learn and how they do this and how they act a certain way. And she says, "Is that explain you?" So it's like a really clear to me, like hint that he's a host. So you're kind of like, oh, like I remember thinking that right away. I was like, oh, he's a bot and he's a sex bot. And
yes,
they've all got sex bots that they all bone whenever they want.
You didn't pick up on that. No, I don't know, Mike. Did you pick up on it at all?
So I wasn't sold on it, but I was clearly like, oh, like now I'm looking for that. Like I was looking for it. So gotcha. So it wasn't as big a reveal, but it was still very cool.
I was completely blindsided by that.
That's
one.
That's awesome.
When he said what door, because the hosts only see things that they're programmed to see.
Right. You learn in earlier episodes that mm-hmm. whenever they see something that doesn't jibe with their reality that they're programmed
very
to live
sixth
in.
Sense-y.
Yeah. So yeah. So they have there's a photo that appears. And Dolores' dad, and Dolores is a main character we'll talk about in a minute. Her dad finds the photo, and it makes him essentially go insane. But he shows it to her, and she looks at it, and right away she says, "It doesn't look like anything to me." And which is what they're programmed to say if they see anything that contradicts their reality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I was complete when he said what door. I kind of went, "That was a throwaway line." And then when they walked into this secret place where they build hosts,
right?
I kind of thought, oh, Bernard's a host.
Yeah,
he's
as soon
a robot.
As he said what door, I was like, oh,
and yeah, that was
there. It is
that was troubling. And then I knew too that Teresa character, you're done at that point. Like you're in this secret place and you're down there with a host. Yeah, you're done.
Yeah,
yeah. And of course, she got taken out.
But they do a great job on implying so some of this stuff, like I'm still like I don't know, like okay, first of all, is Arnold ever a real guy? Like that's what I wonder, or was he always just a creation of a Ford?
No, I don't know. I believe that. I mean, I do believe that he had a partner and they started the
and he looked just like Bernard.
Yes.
So why? So this is a question that Samantha brings up, Samantha McLaughlin. Why doesn't anyone ever recognize, hey, Bernard looks an awful lot like Arnold, you know?
So, that's a good question.
There's a lot of questions in this whole thing.
So many questions. Do we know that, because it's been 30 years now.
Or more,
That's what I was about to say.
And how many of these
are still around? Right.
Because you see Ford as a young man, and it's not, he doesn't look anything like Anthony Hopkins to me.
He looks like Hannibal Lecter in those early ones.
But yeah, but you see him, there's that scene where the young Ford is running,
walking through there, with Dolores
in her, Dolores sees him. You know, so like you say, 30 years have gone by. So to most people, they're not going, who knows what he
maybe
looked like 30 years ago.
Maybe they've had a high turnover, maybe they fired a bunch of people, which that'll happen sometimes. So
it happens every now and again,
so
we know.
You never know. maybe they had to do some restructuring at what was the name of that company? Delcor or whatever?
Yeah, I think.
Pour one out.
Yeah.
Money for Todd.
Hey, Todd.
We're everybody. With you, Todd.
Dang it, I forgot what I was saying, but man. Did you watch – so you've seen Inception.
Yes.
There's a lot of Inception that made me think about this movie.
Do you know why?
Too. Well, when I asked this question or brought that up to somebody, they were saying, oh, because it's Nolan.
Yeah.
It's a Nolan.
Jonathan Nolan is one of the creators behind Westworld and also who wrote with his brother Christopher Nolan, who you might know that name from The Dark Knight and all those other fantastic movies.
Prestige. What?
Amazing types of movies like this that just keep unraveling themselves into a place where you don't know what is going on, and then somehow they all come back together.
Yeah,
and have room for growth, which I think Westworld does.
I also dig, and I'm sorry, Mike, I don't want to step on you. So.
No.
I also dig how Michael Crichton has this theme of fantastical, futuristic theme parks where realistic things come to life. And then he has another one about dinosaurs. The
it
same
wasn't until today that we're talking about this that it even dawned on me.
Yeah,
I'm all, oh my gosh, of course,
it's cool.
But it is.
I mean,
awesome.
They're both cool stories, and I could see them kind of, creatively springing out of the same place. You're like, oh, how about instead of this, mm-hmm. it's dinosaurs, and instead of like robot dinosaurs, you learn how to like really make them out of some new scientific breakthrough.
I don't know Michael Crichton's history, but I wonder if he worked at a theme park as like a teenager or something.
maybe. But the Dolores character is a big character, and mm-hmm. she's like one of the ones you focus on a lot.
Well, she ends up being the big bad, really,
which is so crazy. Oh my god! So
I mean,
crazy.
Everybody's waiting for this. For I mean, it's they make reference to this Wyatt character,
right,
and how he's going to be the new villain. And the new villain's been here this whole time, and it's her.
Yeah.
She's the one that is going to bring this insane amount of chaos and terror to Westworld.
But, and you helped me out with this, I think. Wyatt still, it wasn't like, she was never Wyatt. She was just, had Wyatt's programming. Like, Wyatt was a program, or new, like, whatever they call them, new, not the storyline, not directive, but these new...
Loop.
No.
New pro... like, yeah.
Well, they had... I forgot what they were calling them, but they were the storylines that they were talking about.
Narrative,
the narratives, right. The new narratives. There you go. Yeah.
DJ nails it.
Big ups to B. This was a new narrative that they were infused with in order to do these things. So, because I thought that maybe the Teddy was going to be Wyatt. Like,
I thought that was the... Yeah, because he kept... He kept thinking Wyatt was telling me these things to do.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, oh, well, it's going to be him. He's going to start hearing maybe Arnold in his head, mm-hmm. or something. But no, it was Dolores telling him what to do, which is insane.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The whole time.
And so there's a very big storyline also involving the maze. And so, like, one of the characters that we meet early on is, damn it, who's the actor who plays the man in black?
Ed Harris?
Ed Harris, yes.
Love
great. Another just fantastic, just
dude, they
so
kill
good.
They
Not since The Rock has he turned in a performance like this.
Ed Harris, I immediately, and a little nod to Dallas McLaughlin, think of Glengarry Glen Ross, because that's a movie.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's a movie. You got the memory of a fucking fly. So... But Ed Harris's character, you realize you don't know what's going on when they kind of introduce him, because you're not sure exactly what's happening. But he's seems
this crazy old guy,
yeah, who's apparently impervious to bullets, mm-hmm. and who's you know, can't be killed, and you don't know what's happening here. Because
and we learn that
he's the only human.
That he is human, and that's the first time we learn that the hosts cannot kill a human.
Right, right.
And then later we find that humans can't kill other humans. That was a big question I had. Was
now,
why can't
now,
humans?
How do we learn that?
Yeah,
because
I don't
know. The hosts have programming in them.
Oh,
to
the Good
sense
Samaritan. Type
the Good
thing.
Samaritan code. When they sense,
oh, that's right. That's
if
right.
If a human's going to do other human on human crime, then the hosts will intervene.
Yeah.
And stop that.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that's.
Anthony Hopkins does that sweet where he's just so cool,
yeah.
And he's talking and mm-hmm. It's like, go for it. You know, the guy like does the shunk and he like just grabs him and pins him down.
So that was a big question I had, is if I go, you know, very similar to the character Billy's character,
uh-huh.
I'm blanking on his name. His real name is Jimmy Simpson. He goes.
Now which one is Billy now?
The kid, not
who,
the kid,
who,
but the,
who the band in the black
the
has.
New, yes, the
who ends up draining.
William. No. So Jimmy Simpson was William.
William.
The man in black's.
Oh, okay.
You know, he becomes
right.
The man.
Right, right, right.
Earlier, yeah. Again, if you have made it this far,
sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Of course.
Come on, you know this already. But yeah, he was the young man
right,
in black.
Right, who's, I like that actor a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he goes with his future brother-in-law to Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, this happens early in the days of the park.
Yeah, you think... Yeah, that's what's great. You're
you
thinking
think
that
it's gonna
just happening.
It's happening at the same time.
Right, right.
Because all of these stories are just repeating themselves on loop. You know,
right.
Dolores drops her can and waits for someone to come pick it up for her. And,
And then someone
gets
shot.
William that time.
Yeah, someone gets shot right behind him.
Yep.
And
Maeve is over there. Tandy, what's her last name?
The actress.
Newton?
Tandy Newton, who... We'll get to Maeve
fantastic.
In a... She's fantastic.
Golly, she's so good.
Can you imagine, by the way, the casting of this? If you, like... Hey, you're gonna be on this Old West show, and by the way, every third episode or so, you're just gonna absolutely be stark naked, sitting in a chair, like the most unflattering naked position ever.
Did you notice there was a lot of interesting about that, because there was a lot of like nudity, gratuitous nudity, but it was never sexualized very much at all. So it was very like clinical and in theory these were all not humans anyway.
Right.
But
there was the one big orgy scene where the brother-in-law takes him and he's just like, look at how great this place is. Ah, sex.
What's his name?
Logan.
Logan,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now I got a question about Logan. Now, maybe, okay, so this is one of the problems for me, being absent-minded and falling asleep a lot. So I always watch it again. I watch it on Sunday night. I'm like, I can't wait. And I watch it and then start falling asleep. And then I watch it again on Monday.
How dare you?
Yeah, I know. And I watch it again on Monday morning and I'm like, yes! And I could follow the whole thing. And it's like watching it brand new again. But Logan, so William becomes William. He becomes the man in black.
Becomes the man in black. You find out that he's looking for Arnold's maze.
Which is a real amazing transition because he starts out as this morally very upright character who's, you know, wouldn't hurt a fly, but along those lines of just always doing the right thing.
And even when they went to Westworld for the first time and he's selecting his own wardrobe, they ask him, do you want a black hat? Or do you want a white hat? What character do you want to be?
Yeah.
And Logan is like, come on, man. Let's be bad guys. Let's be outlaws. And he makes the deliberate choice.
Right.
I'm going to pick this white hat.
Right.
And he wears the white hat the entire time of his timeline.
Oh, dude, I didn't even get that till now.
Yeah.
I like till just the second.
That and then he turns and then he just becomes the man in black.
Oh, my God.
And
dude,
you're a music guy.
Yes.
Did you also happen to notice that you heard when Maeve starts her timeline, mm-hmm. when Tandy, blanking again.
Gosh.
Nelson?
Tandy Newton starts her timeline. When she's walking into the brothel every morning, there's always something playing on the player piano.
I'm surprised we haven't talked about this yet.
Yeah, no, so I remember,
there's several
started, and I was like, This is Black Hole Sun. Soundgarden.
Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones. Back in Black by Amy Winehouse.
Huh.
So they are telling us constantly, like something happens where we're going from white hat to black hat, and things are that word black just keeps coming in and to tell us.
Interesting.
There is a transformation happening.
That's how
here.
Much is happening with this show and how they... Oh, dude, that's crazy.
Which are kick-ass versions, by the way. I don't know if you have...
They're available on iTunes. You can buy them.
I've listened to them, yeah. They're really cool player piano versions of those songs.
This is what's great about the show. I say that every time. But what's great is the depth.
Not good enough for Weintraub to listen to watch it.
Just the depth, you know... I don't know, like you mentioned, like I can't wait, and this is when you watch it and you get to a certain point, my first thought was I can't wait to watch this again now. Mm-hmm. Like I can't wait to see this again just with knowing what I know and seeing I bet you will see so much stuff you're like, oh, dude, that's the thing. So have you watched any stuff on the internet? Like, I know I sent you that clip.
Yeah, I did. I watched that one for sure.
I don't know if you, but there are some very well done explanations on the internet that kind of go into great depth and detail about explaining Westworld and explaining the finale. That some are speculations, and you don't know exactly if they're true or not. But it's very well done, and they also talk about a lot of the intricacies that I wouldn't have got. I didn't know that one of those piano player songs was a Radiohead song. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember now. I want to know if they'd said if it had black in the name, because I don't think they talked about that in the show.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to pull a Jared and look it up
Do it. Look it up. But
I'll be back in 10 minutes. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to be Jared. I'm going to walk out of here.
And in Jared's defense, he is trying to save it to watch with his significant other.
No, so. It's all good. He's just being kind and looking out for his little lady.
Whatever, dude. Watch Westworld. It's so good.
But... yeah, there's so many intricacies and details involved, and they do a lot of throwbacks. So, which brings me, go ahead.
It is Radiohead's Exit Music for a Film. That's what the song title is called, Exit Music for a Film.
Hmm.
I really am only familiar with Creep. Like, as far as
Radiohead. I love Creep.
I know, dude. Everyone, that's what I'm saying. Everyone's like, Radiohead's the shit. I'm like, I'm sure they are, but
I like Creep.
I just never discovered them, really.
They got like 10 albums, though.
And they're critically
and you're
acclaimed.
A musician.
Like, I know, dude. Mm-hmm. I know.
Listen to Kid A, that album.
Kid A? Okay. Okay, computer.
Blow your mind.
Kid A.
Start with Kid A.
All right, cool. That reminds me of years ago of somebody like getting me into R.E.M. Because I remember, like, R.E.M.? Well, like, I remember I heard of this band, but I, you know. Yeah. And like, here, start for, you know, I forget what the name of the albums were, but they were good. Oh, they were very good.
Start with the breakup and go from there.
Michael Stipe's like, we got another fan.
But so at the end of the show, at the end of the series, mm-hmm. Season one, Ford, you find out, is the generator of all the consciousness that's happening in the park. So he's the one who actually made... See, now I don't know if he made Arnold to program the other hosts to in order to gain consciousness, quote-unquote consciousness, or if he was doing it himself.
Yeah, I was not clear on that at all, but you know, that clip that you sent...
But at the end, they find a lab where they're making hosts. So clearly they've been making hosts, and you find out that there's this whole group of hosts that live in the park that aren't really accounted for.
They're not on the...
Like on the registry.
In the register, yeah, if you will.
And so I don't know if either of you thought it or not, but my thought was like, that wasn't Ford who they shoot at the end, who they have him shoot at the end. That was like, he clearly made...
You think that there's a Ford host?
I think clearly there's going to be a Ford host. And if it's not a host... Or the real guy, or maybe both. I don't know. Like, but he had one. I have a feeling like he had one made to sacrifice in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except they killed a bunch of people too.
There's also a bunch of people that die. There's a big party with all the bunch of investors there. In the fact, man in black is there.
We don't know who lives.
Nobody. Yeah, we don't know.
And you know,
we don't know if the man in black
he's
lives.
About to. He knows that his power is about to wane. You know, but now.
What do you mean, because of age, or
because
they want to yank him?
And he knows that's coming. So, you know, why not send a copy of yourself, a host of yourself, and live on? And now you're the one in power because the power doesn't exist anymore. You just created a vacuum.
Everybody's gone.
Yeah,
Dolores killed Dolores / Wyatt kills everybody at the end, and now we have this island of robots. And yeah, maybe Anthony Hopkins is...
Or planet is, of robots.
You never or know. Planet, we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Anthony Hopkins is sitting in that bunker wherever he is,
yeah.
You know, watching it on a monitor, just going...
Drinking Chianti.
This is how the game is played, don't you know, kid?
Drinking Chianti and
now he's
eating
living
someone,
with all of his robots.
Eating someone's brain, you know, off of a wok. So you just put every Hannibal Lecter bad scene together.
What I loved, I think, most about the show is, as you mentioned earlier, BJ, that it's the show inside the show,
mm-hmm.
in that they are talking about the hosts in that, you know, kind of that really describes human life.
Yeah.
And that is when they started, they tried to make all of these hosts have these great backstories and they talked about it. Like when they had happy pasts, nobody could do anything. Their loops kept getting stuck, and
mm-hmm.
there was no progress. And they had hosts shutting down. And when they realized that when they programmed them with a backstory with tragedy, that's when they had motivation.
Right.
They had a drive, and they had an actual storyline. And it's fascinating to me because I do feel like there is no evolution without tragedy.
Right.
If everything is just honky dory all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you never really change yourself.
Right.
And it's fascinating to me that in order to have these hosts and these characters with their storylines to keep repeating themselves all the time, you have to have these horrifying backstories. Like Bernard had. I don't...
Right.
When he created
you
Bernard...
Right away, you know that he had a kid
who died. And his wife left him. Right,
I forgot what the story was with his wife.
I don't remember with his wife.
Yeah,
but the kid dying was enough for me to just sob into my own beer every time they flashed back to that.
Sure.
And then when we find out that he's a host, when he finds out he's a host, he's like, but I have this child who died.
I remember,
like, this happened to me. And to me, that's fascinating.
It makes you think about, like, programming, because we know people who fall into the same traps all the time.
Absolutely.
So it's like human. It's so human.
If your day is exactly the same, like these hosts, every single day, they do the same thing every day, and then they have a if this happens, then this happens. And then if this happens, then this happens. And they go on the same pattern. And then when they die, when somebody kills them, or, you know, just, I don't know, the sun rises again. I don't really know exactly how Westworld works.
Right.
But they just repeat this loop.
Right.
And then it just happens again. And you can't have that drive like Maeve does. Tandy Newton. She is the one who actually remembers her past, and that when the man in black, when William discovers, hey, I need to figure out if I'm a human being now anymore. Mm-hmm. So he goes and he finds just this random mother and daughter, and he kills them.
To
see how he feels about it.
Right.
And it's Maeve and her robot Maeve and robot daughter. But that sticks with her, and that's right. Her tragedy, and that's her like drive to keep, you know, she basically becomes very self-aware and knows exactly who's manipulating her, and she mm-hmm. figures out ways to beat the system, and there's just so many levels of...
But you wonder, like, and that's what they do a good job too, you wonder, like, is she actually, we were talking about this in the car, is she actually, like, gaining consciousness, or is it just the programming, you know? And she's like, what? And it's just that great scene where she's in the lab, and then they're showing him the little iPad control
stats
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and her like, unlocks or whatever,
and it shows like the process of her next words as she's about to say them. It's like, what do you mean? I mean, and just looking at it and just like, what?
Yeah,
and just that whole idea that it's kind of like fate versus like free will. You know,
totally.
Are you free will? Are you at free? Do you have free enough will to decide your fate, decide your future, or is it already predetermined for you and through your programming that you're going to end up like this? And that's so human. Like people who end up beating their children were generally beaten as, you know, as children. You know, and so
it's programming, right? Are they stuck in their own loop?
And people who say, I always end up with a jerk or with an asshole boyfriend. It's like, because it's in my programming for somewhere in there. My dad, blah blah blah, and. Yeah, it's like, where's the humans and hosts? Where's the line that separates them? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I do not know.
Wow.
So, what was your favorite part there, Petner?
Oh, well, I mean, we talked about the music. That really made me fall in love with the show. Mm-hmm. And for me, the... why am I drawing a blank on her name? Dolores. Dolores' father.
Right.
Like early on in the season, you know, you lose track of him, and he is like that. I don't know the actor who played him, but
he's
amazing.
So
Dolores' father,
the original father
who finds the picture.
Right.
Yeah.
He was great too.
Yeah.
And so you learn that he's one of these hosts.
Naked Man Storage.
Yes. He's one of these hosts, like Maeve, like Dolores, like some of these other ones who are all of a sudden kind of twitching on their programming and realizing that they're remembering things, which they say is like when they're building the pyramid of consciousness, that memories is like the base of it. So they need to give them these memories in order to, just like us, you know, however your character is formed is made up of the stuff that's happened to you.
And if you woke up every day, you didn't have these memories.
Yeah.
And they wake up every day and they think, child dead, child murdered.
Right.
I have to do this today. This X, Y, and Z happened to me.
Right.
Or in Bernard's case, I don't even know Bernard's history other than the kid dying.
Right.
If you don't have that background, what is your motivation for that day?
Right.
Are you just going to wake up and do nothing?
Right.
It's fascinating to me.
It's very, it's very impressive. And the golly, just the detail. I would imagine like trying to like make this story up, you'd have to have a board just going around your room. You'd look like a crazy person.
You'd have
like
to have several boards like Doc Brown had.
Connected with
all these
with,
different timelines and
with
stuff.
With yarn connected across.
Exactly.
Exactly 1.21 gigawatts.
My boy BJ said at $40,000 per day, the man in black would have spent $14.6 million a year and $511 million over 35 years. But see, here's the thing.
He was part of the ownership,
right? We found out that he was an investor, because that's right. What I thought. At the beginning of the series, I thought it was this guy...
A very rich guy.
A very rich man who was hanging out inside of Westworld and was and had free reign. And there was that episode, Mike, I'm sure you remember this, when they said, that man can do whatever he wants. Right. Actually, Anthony Hopkins said that.
Right.
He can do whatever he wants. Don't worry about him. And it was like, well, why? And is it because he's there every day? Is he just... Is he a
that's
regular?
What I assumed.
Is he,
that's what I assumed.
Is he just doing...
He's the number
whatever
one customer.
He wants. Yeah, yeah, that's what I assumed too.
He pays
too.
For it.
But then we find out that he was one of the primary investors.
Right.
And then in the finale, we found out he owns the damn place. Like he's the owner. He is Ford's boss.
He's
really.
The majority owner at yes. that point. That's right. Yeah. That's yeah. right.
And so when Ford comes out and says this man can do whatever he wants, well yeah, it's because that's his boss.
Right.
Like he owns the damn park. Like he literally can do whatever he wants. That's another reason why no one can kill him or hurt him.
Yeah.
Is you know, he's the man.
And at the end there were they flash back and they say they show him talking to the they show William talking to his partner, what's his name again?
Logan
saying, let's double our investment, let's triple our investment. Well, this is the future. This is what we need to do.
Right.
And then but he sends Logan off on a naked on a horseback. What happens after that?
Yeah, I don't know what happens to Logan. I don't remember.
See, because like clearly like they're leaving that open for him to come back.
Oh my god.
As probably some gonna... kind of, he's a bad dude, he's a bad person, and now he's been humiliated cuz he was all he got off on was murder and stabbing and rape and mm-hmm.
That's why he was there, and that, he kept trying to convince William that
he's
this is what we need to do.
He's the good guy. He's going to be the guy that we report in
season two. Oh, you know what? He'll evolve into the white hat.
He'll have put the white hat on.
I don't want to because I don't like that actor as much. Of course, they're much older now. I forget that the timeline is
they're much older. Yeah.
So is he even alive?
He's going to be an old guy.
He'll be some legendary guy living on the island or wherever they're
wherever
at.
Wherever they
are. Yeah. So that'll be fun to see. It'll be fun to see what happened to there's a security guy who's one of the Hemsworth brothers.
Hemsworth brother. The Hemsworth the third. The third brother.
Who at the who goes out. And who are these ghosts? Nation too. Like who are these guys? Are these
oh
are,
yeah, the
these
Wyatt's
are hosts.
Men, right?
These are hosts, right? I mean, clearly they're hosts.
The
Ghost Nation
guys?
No, the Ghost Nation.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, those are. I'm sure.
And so they must be ones who are malfunctioning too, or at least like this, because they have to control them, and he couldn't control them. He went out and
oh yeah, he you know, stand
all,
down.
Yeah,
and,
sees all
yeah.
functions. Sees all functions.
Sees all functions.
And he got taken down, but they don't show what happened to him.
Right. Yeah, we don't know what happened to him.
You don't really happen to know what happened to the girl that you see get grabbed by Bernard.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
And so there's a lot of hints about it. So watching this extended. YouTube show about it, which was very informative.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
It's by New Rock Stars, which I'm a fan of now. Just like it was a 15 minute or so long video that was done just sharp as can be.
Well thought out.
They edited clips together. They would like zoom in on stuff. It's like if you didn't notice this, you know, with stuff that you're like, oh shit.
So
just like the black reference, there's so many things in here that. You can get with a second viewing or a third viewing or a
something
second set
that
of eyes.
I don't know if it's in that video or not, but I actually just heard this on a radio show or something. I don't remember where I heard it, but Yul Brynner was in the original Westworld,
right.
And he had a very distinctive costume. Mm-hmm. His wardrobe was very distinct, and I guess when they go, I don't remember which floor it is. They're like, we're going to this floor that's not used anymore.
Right.
Or it's down there, and I guess when they're panning this room, when they're scanning through it, you can see Yul Brynner's wardrobe.
Yeah, kind of out of focus.
When they freeze
like
frame it, and it's just
back.
Like, oh, yeah. How cool is that?
It's super cool.
I need to go back and look into that, but...
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty.
And
that's
also,
pretty
did you play Red Dead Redemption at all?
I did not, but I heard a lot of comparisons.
Because
when
Red I'm
Dead
watching
Redemption
that,
to this,
you did or did not?
No. My brother was way into it. I didn't.
But yeah, you played it, B, and you watched Westworld. So did you think that at some point that like, God, this looks like Red Dead Redemption, just like this, just the way Red Dead Redemption is like presented the and what really made it seem that way is there's a scene where William, I believe it's William, no, it's Teddy, when Teddy's like starts going on the warpath, and he gets off the train and he walks up and he just shoots that guy, those two guys playing, the sitting at the table, and he shoots one of them.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy's like, no, 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 no. And he doesn't even, he just ignores him and goes and does his thing, which is just like out of Red Dead Redemption. Huh. Like, you go up and that game gives you the opportunity to play as a good guy or a bad guy. And apparently, like, the BioShock team that did that, is the, they were big influences on the Nolans or the Abrams or whoever, mm-hmm, part of putting the show together.
Well, both of those guys did it.
Actually, Rockstar Games, but...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought they said BioShock, but I could be wrong.
Same guys as Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, so that crew, yeah. I was like, oh, that's just like the game. And you're allowed, you go through, and my girlfriend, Andrea, sometimes will, like, I'm playing as evil tonight. And, like, we'll play the game and go through and just, I need to kill some
people.
Just
kill everybody.
Kills everything, yeah. And then and your rating will get bad. And it's you know, it's fun at times. It's fun.
I mean, that's what it's there for.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder, how would you spend your time at Westworld?
You know, I've thought that many times.
What would you do,
BJ's killing everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
You're just mowing people down.
Gamble, whiskey,
hoes. I'm here for the hoes.
I actually heard that.
Shoot a guy and call it a day. And that's before noon. If I paid $40,000 a day, Jesus, I'm getting my money's worth.
I'm taking two naps and I'm killing on the other three sections of the day.
But that's why a lot of these hosts start becoming self-aware, and they're like, what is happening to us?
I keep getting stabbed every day.
It's been 35 years of me being raped and murdered.
Yeah.
Like this, eventually that's going to start registering, and especially because Ford starts effing with them.
See,
nobody wants to pay $40,000 a day to be the quiet rancher.
Well, right. But that's what William wants, is he's like, I'm going to be a good guy, and I'm going to help this woman.
The damsel in distress.
And she's not a host. She is real, and I love her, and she's better than my fiancé. And then when she actually does die, and he goes back to see her because now she's back into her loop, she doesn't recognize who he is. That's when he loses his mind, is he's like, I invested so much emotion into this character and into this person, and she is... just a robot.
Yeah.
She has no recollection of me or anything that happened on our trip. And when the man in black has her at the very end, and he's like, and she is saying, someone's coming for me, someone will come for me, and he's, William's coming for me, or Teddy, or whoever it was. She said,
William's
coming for me.
Our love is real.
And he's, he's like, you stupid bitch.
That was brutal. Like, that was so brutal. I was like
it's
what?
Been 35 years, and I'm that guy, but she's still stuck in in that loop. And
What a great reveal.
Yeah.
And at first you're like, I was like, no way is that the case.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of lay it out, and you're like, oh, shit.
I don't know. I kind of... That one...
Didn't have a problem with that?
Didn't get here?
No. I just didn't catch me off guard, though. Like, I started to see subtle hints that maybe...
That William could be that guy,
yeah.
Huh.
Like, down the road. Like, for whatever reason, that one didn't surprise me as much as the Bernard reveal.
Huh.
That one just caught me off totally.
Now, definitely the Man in Black one was bigger for me, just because... Because I think there was another hint too about Bernard maybe being a host, but I don't remember exactly what it was. But clearly, I had thought about it beforehand. Mm-hmm. But that reveal to me, the Man in Black, I was like, no, goodness is dead.
You know what I loved is when I think it was Maeve who was going through the Westworld offices. Did you guys notice Samurai World?
Well, they did at the end, yeah.
So, is there a samurai world? Are we getting a samurai world?
Okay, so this is another thing. So when she says, "Who the Asian guy who's the who's helping her out? Who's the lab tech?
Yeah, the guy who's kind of fallen for her,
right?
For lack of a better term,
yeah, sort of. Yeah, he does. Right. He does
helping her become self aware, making her more intelligent,
right,
and helping her escape.
By the way,
he took out that explosive device,
right,
which is another Jurassic Park comparison. Because remember when they built into the dinosaur DNA that the dinosaurs cannot survive off the island. unless they there's like a lysine contingency where they cannot survive with this certain thing. But then the dinosaurs figure it out. Well, here's Maeve, who cannot, if she goes past a certain border, there's something in her spine that will explode and she will die.
Right.
But she figures that out and she has that lab tech guy remove it and she's on the train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so crazy.
It's so good.
I wanted to see, I kind of didn't want, like, I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, she has that moment of just, like, you really do believe that she maybe has this sentient thought, you
right.
know, like, you know, she's, you know, for her daughter, she's going back, but
I'm so glad you brought that up, Mike, because I feel like that is the most human moment in the entire show.
Oh yeah.
Which was,
well, cause she says, but at first, so what happens is like in there in the elevator mm-hmm. and he says, I know, you know, whatever, but here's where your daughter is. Yes. And he hands her that piece of paper
yeah.
and the paper says Park One. Section blah blah blah, mm-hmm.
which exactly makes where you her think, quote unquote well, daughter
and
is,
and implying that there's more than one park, and so that
ooh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so that there's a so and the, maybe the second park is Samurai World, or maybe you know we'll learn. Well, clearly in season two we'll probably learn about mm-hmm. what these are, but at first she says I don't have a daughter. She kind of remembers this is all programming. But then later, she clearly decides to go for it.
Yeah, which...
And that's how she ends up back... Because I was a little like, wait a minute. She ends up back at Westworld. Does she... But that's to go get her daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, she gets on the train. And again, the most human moment of the entire show where she thinks... And there's no way any mother is leaving her daughter.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Well, in some cases. But... you know, a woman as passionate
not a human
as
Maeve,
not a human.
Just kidding.
She is, and you want her to leave so bad. You're just like, yeah. get out, go.
This
and she
you.
Just she has that moment of I need to go back and get my daughter. And that to me was the most. I mean, out of all these robots and all these humans who just want to kill and fuck,
right?
She has this realization, and that to me was like, yeah, they're not just. They're not just robots. Now we have something that is real.
Mm-hmm. And Arnold was right. Yep.
Hashtag Arnold was right.
We can't do this. Yeah. But it's fun. You know, that's an interesting little moral dilemma, too. It's like, it's artificially generated consciousness, so...
But it's not anymore.
Isn't it? I mean,
because
isn't
she's
it, like,
she's evolving.
Core?
Well, she's evolving herself, and she's now there's a badass.
Like, I guess that's one of the questions.
Or, like you said earlier, is she being programmed for
right,
all of these things?
Yeah, to evolve and to
is she being programmed to trick this guy and remove her thing? And is this now a new storyline where she's going to go find her daughter?
Yes, yeah, so that's some of the coolest stuff is like.
Oh, there's so many places they can go with it.
Yeah, Maeve's like improvisations to try to like figure stuff out, and she realizes I can die anytime because I'm going to end up here, mm-hmm. and then when I'm here, I can do this because I remember everything now, and that's all so badass. And she cuts the dude's throat, and then that's just to show like, hey, things have changed now. I can hurt you. I can hurt people, uh-huh. and that's money.
Yeah,
that's so money to me.
Yeah.
That's the same story of Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray.
Pretty much
Groundhog's
Day.
Babe.
And I want to watch...
I've got you, babe.
It's so long a series, but it makes me want to watch Battlestar Galactica again because they kind of deal with some of those similar themes of who's real. And don't they like have like... What are they called in Battlestar Galactica? Oh, the Cylons, right.
The Cylons, yeah.
Yeah. And whether or not they love, right, or something, or... I need to see it again. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we did good, I think. How are we doing, man? Did you see what we're doing on time?
Hour
right on.
I could go for another
There's
hour, so,
so
we
much,
better wrap it up.
We could go so much what I wanted to talk about, and we're not going to talk about it. But the scene where Bernard realizes who he is, that he realizes he's a host, and then but his host character Bernard uses an improvisation to threaten Ford. He's like, I know that I can't kill you, but she can. And gives her the gun. And,
yeah, to Clementine, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, that was brilliant, brilliant storytelling.
And then how Ford that all goes, no, she can't, because I reprogrammed her, and it was just like, I know you got me, and you think that I got you, but I really got you, because I got her. And
it's badass. It's so good. Yeah, and the entire time, Anthony Hopkins is just so steely cool and just unflappable and terrifying and just awesome. You're just rooting for him, like, get her, shoot him. Yeah. But he's just so cool. It's great. So I can't wait to watch it
again. The show is that, here's how good the show is, for me anyway, is that Sunday nights have been exclusively Walking Dead for me, period.
One day we're going to talk about that. But
And that's been it, is when is Walking Dead on and how fast can I watch it? About five episodes into Westworld, it became, I'll watch Walking Dead tomorrow. No. I'm watching Westworld tonight. That's how good this show
is. Shift the priorities. Okay.
Everything changed.
There are a lot of folks who are going, oh, hell yeah. I know what you mean. But Walking Dead?
Yeah, but Walking Dead, really?
Come on, dude.
When are you going to do that? When I'm...
Once BJ watches past season one. So Jared, I'm the guilty part there.
Well, I'll co-host for you. You can sit this one out, and I can co-host with Jared.
You and Jared can talk about Walking Dead, and I would sit aside and throw in some stuff.
Negan's throwing it down, dude.
Dude, you know what? I watched that episode. Like I was telling
you. Yeah.
So I watched the first season, and then I watched five episodes maybe of the second season, and I just got turned off. And I was like, meh.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, that's what I've heard. No, and I trust everybody.
You're a bad human and a bad American. And,
this is just my programming, okay?
I hope you're a host.
Okay. I'm still trying to figure that out, whether or not. Yeah, that's fun too, where you're just like,
DJ, stop movement.
Maybe I'm.
I knew it.
Seesaw.
I was hoping you would have shut up.
It took me too long to like get the joke.
Analysis.
To go right. But
what are you thinking right now?
Like you, I'll tell you. And
drop the accent.
So anyway, there's so much to talk about. And
go watch Westworld.
Go watch it. It is great.
Go watch it again.
And somebody was talking about that this is some of the most fantastic storytelling they've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I agree.
Someone was talking about it. That was me an hour ago.
Someone else, because it was Arnold, I think. I forget. So
am I a host?
Yeah, good. That's what you're going to ask yourself. Everyone's going to ask themselves. Am I dreaming? Am I really just being victims of my programming?
Yeah. If you like The Matrix, if you like Battlestar Galactica,
if you like Inception,
if you like Westerns, Jurassic Park.
Anthony Hopkins.
And you made it this far, and we spoiled the whole thing for you anyway, then just go.
Season 2 is going to, I hope it's, I'm excited.
2018.
Oh, yeah, it's going
to
be a
2018.
Year and a half.
To see more of this, either this world or the expanded universe.
Oh, samurai world. I'm
oh
so
my
into
gosh.
Yeah, that'll it's be going to be awesome. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. But kudos to our co-host today. Biz and Petner helping us out.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you very much for sitting in.
It's been an
in.
Honor.
And
so
big
better
thanks.
That Weintraub guy, right?
Jared's going to, you know what? We'll probably talk about it again after Jared watches it and just kind of refresh it a little bit. Probably as part of another episode. But,
all right.
He and his girl Sam
it's
will watch it
as cool.
And catch up. It won't be as cool. We already killed it. We killed it. We killed this episode, this Westworld episode. So
it's all right. You killed it. We can respawn it. It'll be in a new loop.
Exactly. Yeah.
We'll just do it again tomorrow.
That's how we do it. So, very good. Anyway, this has been Life's Binge. I'm BJ.
I'm not Jared. I'm Mike.
Yeah. And
I'm the other Mike.
Yeah. And what will we do? We'll see you on the couch.
We'll see you on the couch.
Come on.
See you on the couch.
I don't listen to the show.
That works. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to a Modern Profession podcast. For more podcasts you might like and information on live shows or how you can get involved, visit amodernprofession.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Modern Profession or Twitter at A Modern Pro. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.